This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Sam Darnold is one of the best stories we've seen entering a Super Bowl week in quite some time.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm happy to be a part of this team, man. You know, I'm really happy to be here.
Earlier on the show, ESPN analyst Marcus Spears. Coming up, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour two of the Rich Eisen Show. We're on the air, everybody. ESPN app, Disney Plus, and ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Coming up, and more of your phone calls this hour. But joining us right now is three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth back here in his usual spot. Good to see you, Mark Schlereth. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. Thank you, Rich. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. So many different ways to go about our chat, but let's start with the play that essentially broke the Broncos' back, which was the Drake May keeper, and for a first down that essentially sent the Patriots to the Super Bowl, Mark. And we're learning that May and Josh McDaniels dialed up the play themselves and didn't tell the offensive line to help sell it better. Has that ever happened to you, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I'll going all the way back to my Idaho days. I don't know if you can see this, yes. University of Idaho.
Yes, sir.
Under Dennis Erickson, we used to do it all the time. We would run a, you know, run pass option. We would call the run play. And then if you had a slot receiver, because we were always in three wide sets, if you had a slot receiver that was uncovered and somebody was, you know, 12 yards off him, the quarterback had the free-for-all or the right just to throw it over there. And so you'd be into like a handoff to the right, you know, we call it 34 dive or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, the linebacker that you're comboing up to, you know, you're like, oh, here I come. And all of a sudden, he just takes off and goes the opposite way because the quarterback threw it out there. So it's great that the offensive line didn't know, because they're going to execute that play and make it look like a run. And that will effectively hold the outside edge. And that was Jonah Ellis out there, held the edge there, and he barely made that first down. But if you don't sell that, Ellis gets to him and stops it before the first down, and the Broncos get the ball back and then probably go three and out. Oh, wait, did I say that? Nice. You know, the Broncos get the ball back and still don't score. So, but the bottom line is a great execution, great plan by both Josh McDaniels and Drake May. And I think it's the right way to go. Don't tell anybody, man, this is what we're doing, because it's going to affect the defense that much more.
All right. So then let's get to the tongue-in-cheek portion of your commentary about the Broncos offense and what you thought of the day. In total for Denver.
So I went back through it, Rich, and you know, you've got what, 18 or 17 games in a regular season. You've got a playoff game, and then you get to the AFC Championship. And I get it that it's your backup quarterback, but the number of mistakes, just the blocking assignment mistakes, and just the lack of execution as an offense. And Sean Payton, and I agree with him, he came out and said, hey, man, I'm not worried about our quarterback. I'm not worried about Jared Stidham as much as I am worried about everybody else doing their job. And there were just so many just breakdowns of lack of getting to the second level or chasing the second level and not blocking the first level up front. Their run game was atrocious. It was embarrassing. And a lot of it was due to just lack of communication and lack of execution. And those things, to me, like, what are you doing? You're in the AFC Championship with a backup quarterback. Those are the things that have to be executed well. And they just flat weren't all day long. And then I get to the fourth down and one situation from your own 14-yard line in the second quarter. The Patriots at that point have had 12 yards 12 plays and 12 yards of total offense. And, you know, I mean, if you listen to my radio show in the morning, we had the weather guy on. You knew it was going to get blustery in the second half. Maybe you didn't listen. I can't believe you didn't listen. You knew it was going to get blustery. It's going to get snowy. It's going to get... If you go up two scores in the second quarter and your defense is playing the way they were playing and you've shut them down for 12 yards on 12 plays, you kick that field goal and it almost becomes insurmountable. And then you start thinking about how would that game plan have changed? All of a sudden, you're going to put Drake May in a situation where, hey, man, we're going to rush him. You know, he's going to have to drop back. Now the strip sack fumble situations that have come up the last 2 weeks, 6 fumbles, 3 lost fumbles, in their first 2 playoff games, maybe those things come up. Maybe you're the one that gets the turnover close to your own end zone. You know, all those different things. I just thought, again, and this is endemic of the league in general, I thought it was a horrendous decision not to kick a field goal. And I'm back in, you know, I'm back in Peyton Manning's suite with Peyton Manning, Brandon Stokley, myself, and Mike Shanahan. We were all four of us were like, kick the field goal, kick it, just kick it. And, you know, and that's, but again, that's part of this league and that's part of the trend of this league that I personally just have a really tough time with.
You and me both. You know, and again, I know there's math and I know there's probabilities and I know there's percentages. And I understand you're saying a 2-score lead, 10 points would feel insurmountable. Well, then 14 would even be what's insurmountable plus.
Right.
But
yeah.
That's the 2 in the bush. With the bird in the hand with a 31-yard field goal, and the other bird in the hand is, you're saying, the Doppler radar picture. You know?
Right. Well, and the other thing is even though you had, at that point, 127 yards of offense, most of it was on one big throw over the top to Mims that was just a bust in coverage. Other than that, you really hadn't done much, and you had done nothing in the running game. So all of a sudden... Like, if I'm sitting there as a defense, and these are the things I think you have to think about, and it's hard to think about them in the moment. If you're sitting there saying, hey, man, we haven't run it for 2 inches, all right? So the defense really isn't going to respect that. And then on that particular play, man, you completely misblocked it. They shifted down inside to make it almost a 6-1 front, and you didn't know who to block. And so you turn not one, but 2 guys free in the face of Jared Stidham, and that play was doomed from the start. And there were guys that were going to be open had it been blocked up, but you just didn't get it done. So you had made mistakes. You hadn't run the ball. You know the New England Patriots are probably playing the pass in that situation. Like, all those factors are stacked up against you, and still you went for it. And I get it. I mean, you got to make a gamble. You got to try to make a play every now and again. But I think it cost you the game.
And my follow-up to all this, Mark Schlereth, is a bit of a page turn in our conversation here, where you're saying you watch the film, you see a lot of missed blocking assignments, inability to get to the second level by the Broncos blocking scheme. But you also did say in that crucial 4th-and-1, I watched it too. I watched New England pre-snap go ahead and make some movement with their defensive line to pack it in tight in the middle, and they got free runners. So shouldn't we tip our cap a little bit to a Patriots defense that is now going to have their hands full with Seattle in Super Bowl 60, Mark?
Absolutely. I thought the Patriots, like, all things considered, I thought they didn't panic. They knew what kind of game it was. And, you know, when you look at the way they controlled the tempo of that game and the lack of panic, you know, when they went down 7-0, they're still trying to run the ball. You look at Stevenson still had, I think, 25 carries. He's averaging maybe 3 yards a carry. There was nothing there in the running game that said, hey, man, let's keep pounding this. And yet they kept doing it because they knew in the end our defense is really good. And we're playing against a backup quarterback and a team that doesn't run the ball well. And we're just going to bide our time and let them make the mistakes. And it goes back to the Bill Belichick thing. He used to say it all the time. And I agree with him, is more games are lost than won. And that game, to me, and you tip your cap to New England because they did a great job, but that was more lost by the Broncos than necessarily won by the Patriots.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. You can listen to him there in the Denver area with the accurate AccuWeather forecast, as well as the Stinkin' Truth podcast here on the Rich Eisen Show. So your view of the NFC Championship game, looking back on it, is what now, Mark?
Yeah, I just thought it's amazing. Like, we've talked about the Sam Darnold story, all that Sam Darnold has been through. But if you would have said, here's your bingo card, and one of the squares was Sam Darnold would out-duel Matthew Stafford, I'd been like, you're crazy. Like, you're just absolutely crazy. Sam Darnold, both quarterbacks were exceptional. But Sam Darnold's pocket presence, his ability to climb the pocket, deliver a strike, Smith and Jigba was absolutely unbelievable, uncoverable on the top of his route. And this is one of the things, and I know you do a great job covering the combine, but we always get so enamored and so excited about guys that run 4.3 40s. And Smith and Jigba, I think, was a 4.5 240 at the combine. And that dude creates more space at the top of his route. He is uncoverable. And when they throw him a little bubble screen, you can't tackle him. The first guy doesn't bring him down, doesn't even touch him. He was absolutely phenomenal. And I tell you, you got to tip your cap to the Seahawks, general manager John Schneider, what they're doing offensively under Clint Kubiak. They just were exceptional in that game. But Sam was unbelievable. Hit two deep shots, one to Shaheed down the sideline, and then another one that was a post corner deep one to Smith and Jigba that was just a dime piece as well. So got to tip your cap to the Seattle Seahawks, what they did. And Sam Darnold, this story, to me, it's a remarkable story, basically tossed to the curb by three different franchises to find his home in Seattle. It's just a great run.
You could make a case the best throw, if not most important throw, was the third down throw to Cooper Kupp to get that first down that really put the Rams behind an eight ball with the amount of time remaining and their timeouts remaining. It was a great catch by Kupp. He did reach for the first down. There is a conversation about should they have challenged it or not, but that throw to Kupp and obviously the catch is something that leaps out at me too. Like, you want to talk about a pressure situation. If he throws that where maybe it tips up in the air, you know, he throws that a little bit off. He throws that in a spot, and we're talking about same old Sam Darnold, despite him being incredible. And it was just on point like the rest of his night, man.
Yeah, it was absolutely money. Although 12-year-old Mark Schlereth playing Nerf football in Anchorage, Alaska, would have said that's not a catch. But I don't know what it. I don't know anymore what a catch is. I get it. You get 2 feet down, and then you make a football move, and Graham can't call a fumble, and all this stuff. But I tell you what, over the last couple of weeks, man, there's so much controversy about what is and what isn't a catch, and maybe I just don't know what a catch is. I do these games every weekend. That's why we have one of them rules analysts. But there are some times where I just look at this real speed stuff and I'm like, I don't know how we differentiate.
Well, I think if you just want to linger here for a second, what it looked like was 2 feet down, and you don't need a third foot. I know we keep hearing that all the time. And Walt Anderson comes on NFL Network, NFL Total Access every Sunday, and we're appreciative of all that. He constantly talks about the third foot, but there is something called a football act. And I kind of think him being brought down to the ground and reaching for the first down before he was down was, in the estimation, real time call of the official, a football act, similar to the way that Dez Bryant reached for the end zone back in the day. Yeah. You know what I mean? I hear you. And that is, it's amazing how it kept coming up from, obviously, Bills versus Broncos, and then later on that night, Davante Adams over the middle with the Bears, who thought they had an interception. Instead, he was ruled still a runner now down by contact as opposed to a receiver going down to the ground. It's amazing how that kept on cropping up. It might happen in the Super Bowl too, Mark.
You never know. And I listen, man, they've got a tough job, and they get most of them right. It's the ones they get wrong that bother me. So
I got you. I hear
but
you.
Yeah, that's it. The whole catch thing is just, it always is one of those things that creates controversy. It depends on your perspective, but I probably agree with you going back and looking at it and rereading the rule and all that stuff that it was a catch. And back to your original point though, unbelievable, like throw, poise, ability to hit that ball across, you know, on that shallow cross to get Cooper Kupp that first down. Amazing in that point of the game as well.
And what you said too, that Darnold out-dueling Stafford. I mean, they both had over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. And he did have a better passer rating of just 0.2, and and they were both off the charts. Just knowing, you know, having a front row seat, you know, obviously Elway won two in a row and then strolled off. But just knowing what it's like to be a player in advancing years, what do you think is going through Stafford's mind right now? Because so many fans think it's as simple of why would he walk away? But you know there's more to it than that. So what do you think, Mark?
It's not Sundays. I mean, obviously what you saw, he was exceptional. And, you know, I was surprised how much just straight man-to-man cover one lurk that Seattle played. They just I think there's a couple of things when you play a lot of cover one. You know, you tell your you say a couple of things. One, we think our defensive line can get there. Right. So we think that we can get there and affect the quarterback, too. We're not really worried about the quarterback taking off and running. And so they played a lot of man-to-man coverage, and that was a Stafford, you know, that was a Stafford game plan, and he picked it apart. His receivers at the top of their routes, both Davante Adams and Puka Nacua were just absolutely outstanding, tight ends as well. So they were great in that. But it's not Sundays, right? Sundays are the easy part. It's your willingness to prepare in, you know, March, April, May, June, July to get yourself ready. It's the grind that you put into it Monday through Saturday. It's a lot, man. It wears you down. And especially if you're constantly nursing, and I don't know how, you know, I know the big conversation, the topic of conversation before the season was Matthew Stafford's back. But I just will tell you, as a guy that played his whole career injured, man, it wears you out when you're physically, it's not only the preparation mentally to get yourself ready to play and to make sure that you don't make mental mistakes and that you're perfect on your, you know, execution and your assignments and the way you go about it. But then at the same time, you're fighting your own body. And so that's a full-time job, just getting healthy. You know, I mean, I just remember my own career rolling in it. 5 a.m. I'd be the first guy in the facility at 5 a.m. doing 2-3 hours of rehab before our first meeting, studying film, going through the whole day, and then coming back home, eating dinner and packing myself in ice and going to bed at 7. And that was my everyday routine for the last 5 years of my career. And it basically, you know, it's just it's not only a physical grind, but more importantly, man, it just mentally wears you out.
Yeah, there's no way that the whole back thing that caused us to wonder if Stafford's going to take a snap all season long. The fact that he did what he did, it's not because whatever he did in August, he got through it and then did nothing the rest of the year to have to maintain it, right? Like, there has to have been something significant that was going on.
Without question, you're spending so much time in the training room, so much time getting treatment. I'm sure there's, you know, and I mean,
stuff that he wouldn't talk about, right? That no one would talk about ever.
I mean, you can drive to work and sneeze and you know, it just goes, I mean, it just is, it is so frustrating. And I've had multiple back surgeries. The back is the worst possible injury, way worse than knees and elbows and all the other things I went through. The back is the one that drove me. I mean, the back is the one that drove me to retirement more than anything else. I mean, it just is so hard to manage on a day-to-day basis.
All right, last one for you, Mark. Your first blush Super Bowl 60 preview, top down, is what?
Man, I think the Seahawks are just an all-around better football team. Defensively, if you went, you know, kind of a position by position, you know, confidence poll, if you will. I think their O-line is much better. I think their receiving core and the tight ends are better with Seattle. I think the running backs are close to a push, although I probably would give the nod to Kenneth Walker in that regard. I'd give right now, the way they're both playing, both quarterbacks, maybe that's a push. Defensively, I just think the Seattle Seahawks are really, really good, especially linebacking core and back end. So I think it's a good matchup. I don't think there's any question. I just think Seattle's playing better than any other team in football right now.
All right, we'll put a pin in that and then have you on next week, Mark. We'll pull the pin and get even deeper. Thanks for the time. Right. I really appreciate
Sounds
it.
Good,
You're the
Rich.
Best, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
That's
Take
Mark
care.
Schlereth, the stinking truth, only the stinking truth from Mark Schlereth, as always. And with, you know, the free football world second guessing Sean Payton's decision to go for it on fourth down rather than taking a 31-yard field goal, how do you think that still potentially burning fire will sustain what we heard that he, Peyton Manning, Brandon Stokely, and Mike Shanahan are second-guessing that in real time together? Oh, two figures from one Super Bowl-winning Broncos team and two figures from a dynastic Super Bowl Broncos team sitting there with their chicken tenders and
I'm actually surprised you let that go. Like, you didn't give them crap about, oh, Peyton Manning's Bucks.
Up there in the suite. No, this we already did that. We've been there. We already heard about the dessert cart and the, and the catering and all that.
Right.
But just, you know, interesting tidbit. We take a break right here. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. And your phone calls, 844-204-RICH.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it. And you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right, Matt in Maryland's been hanging on pretty much since jump. What's up, Matt?
How's it going, Rich? How's it going, everyone?
What's up, Matt?
Hey.
Well, so I have a very interesting little question.
As long as the question's little, don't make it big now. Don't make it big now. Don't make the question big now, Matt. I'm just kidding. What's on your mind?
We got three big-name quarterbacks who have new coaches.
Okay.
All right, so we got Lamar, we got Herbert, and we got Allen.
Okay, and you're referring to the new OC, obviously, for the Chargers with Mike McDaniel for Herbert.
Correct. But,
okay.
The question is, which of those three quarterbacks receives the most blame if they don't get over the hump next year?
Oh, most blame. Do you want to bust out the finger?
Ooh, finger of blame.
Hey, you have the finger of blame, TJ? Because I thought you were going most pressure. Because Lamar never feels pressure. Ask Justin Herbert and Josh Allen with their gajillions of dollars and dating Madison Beer and being married to
when you
Haley
say
Steinfeld.
Madison Beer, I don't know who. Yeah,
okay,
who are you talking about?
Excuse me. I'm talking about Xander's. I mean, nobody will ever overtake Taylor Swift in Xander's life, but Madison Beer is making a hell of a run right now.
Oh, interesting. We should Xander. Look her up. That's what
a hell of a run.
Got it. Okay.
You already looked her up. Don't be sly, pal.
I don't know who you mean.
I can tell you, I honestly
be honest with Matt in Maryland.
I stopped banking.
So who's got the finger of blame? Who will be blamed more, huh? It depends, right? We got to see how it all plays out.
It does not depend. The answer is Lamar Jackson.
Why would it be Lamar?
Two-time MVP. Look at the other quarterbacks in his
division. But why would it be Lamar?
Look at the other.
It's got
to
be.
Well, I'm trying to explain it to you, but you keep interrupting. Two-time MVP. Look at the other quarterbacks in his division. He should have an easier path to securing home field in the playoffs. Never gotten there. It's easily Lamar Jackson.
Josh Allen's had an easy time over the last few. Now he doesn't anymore. Okay. Why? Because the Dolphins are going to get it right under Jeff Hafley?
Exactly.
Because the Jets are going to turn it around with all those draft picks?
100%.
I don't know, man. Who do you think, Matt?
I got to be honest. I agree. I think Lamar. I think fans will make it to say, hey, we got rid of our coach for you, and you still can't win.
No, so I don't think they got rid of their coach for Lamar.
Why did they get rid of the coach then? Yeah.
Because the owner was sick and tired of the same result not being the one. Because, the same thing in Buffalo.
Why? Because Lamar complained behind the scenes. They didn't get along.
This
was clearly a rift.
We don't have any
Lamar and Harbaugh.
Yep.
The only way, and thank you for the call, Matt. Boy, he just lobbed that verbal grenade in here.
Like that was a big question, not a
little. Well, I mean, it was definitely a big question. Yeah. It wasn't a little question. He totally shined us off. He ran us an okie doke on the size of his question.
Bamboo.
The only way that we can know the finger of blame is to see it play out. What if Lamar doesn't make the Super Bowl next year because something happens on special teams and he has a 3-touchdown game? And the same thing with Josh Allen, or Justin Herbert finally puts a couple of games together. He wins his first playoff game. Josh Allen does his thing with Joe Brady and he doesn't make it. You don't know. Nobody knows. All three of these guys could ball out and they don't make the Super Bowl based on something out of their control. Come on, man.
Like the weather?
So we just got to guess who's to blame more.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I mean, I'll just say this.
In advance of seeing what's to blame? What's the matter? That's a crazy question.
You're being very logical here. That's not the...
That's my job.
It's not the idea of the question.
Just don't blame it on the rain.
TJ, please chime in.
Put that in there.
What?
I feel like Justin Herbert gets off quite easy out of all this, like always. I feel Lamar takes more crap than anybody else.
Dak. He's had the most individual success.
Dak gets off. He's had more than Josh because he has one more MVP.
Could have had two. He could be up 3-0
as
opposed to 2-1.
Okay. I could have been
6-10. So you're pointing the... You're pre-assigning the finger of blame on Justin Herbert?
No, I'm saying this. I wish we'd get off of this
blame stuff. Get off the blame train.
Not the blame train, but everything is about the quarterback, right? Lamar Jackson has a turnover in the first half in the playoffs last year, right? He throws a pass to Mark Andrews.
Oh, boy.
A 2-point conversion, wide open, goes off of both of his hands, and the next day, all the sports got, well, Lamar shouldn't have turned the ball over. That pass wasn't completely accurate.
Keep going, TJ.
What?
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about?
Correct.
We give this guy more crap than anybody else. Anybody.
Even when he's coming out. He shouldn't be working out with the quarterbacks.
Anybody but Dak Prescott.
Oh, okay. Now we're back.
I'm always going to be back.
Wasn't that the birth of the finger of blame was a Dak Prescott question?
I can't.
How did the finger of blame come about around here?
Tulo said.
No, I know he made it up, but we've talked about something about the finger of blame. I forgot what the genesis of it was. At any rate, geez, Matt and Marilyn, we were all just humming along here. You say, I got a little question for you, except it's big.
Giant question.
A giant question that was. Hey, listen, we love when you call in. Don't say it's a little question and then go big. All right.
That buries the lead.
We're not ready for that. We're not ready for that.
Buries the lead right there.
And the RES consulting, we need to come up with a pressure plan. That's what Kurt always says. Have a pressure plan.
I don't know, Rich. I like to think RES consulting, we stay ready so we don't got to get ready. Correct. We're ready for any.
My bad.
Better question. Which of those three quarterbacks never makes the Super Bowl?
What is that all about? Oh, can I tell you a group chat I had with two of my friends who work in sports this weekend?
Please do.
I was talking to my buddy Paul Zeiss and Michael Hawley, and we had a little contentious text chain.
And
that question was brought up. And you know what my answer was?
With these three exact quarterbacks?
Well, there were four in total.
Who was the fourth?
It was those three. And then we were dropping other names in there, but it was about the three. I said none of them ever win a Super Bowl. You know how hard it is.
Why? Because Drake May's going to start winning them all like Brady?
Because it's
hard. Don't feed that beast over there.
Not about him. It's just hard to win a Super Bowl, man. Like, you looked at that chart they put up on Sunday, right? The Patriots went to 11 Super Bowls. Then you have four teams tied with eight.
Yeah.
All I ever hear about the Cowboys is you haven't won a Super Bowl in 30 years, blah, blah, blah. What's taking the rest of you jabroni teams to catch up to us? If we haven't done it in 30 years and we still got five of them things and nobody but four other teams, I think, have as many of us. That just goes to show you in 35 years, what, 12 different teams have won a Super Bowl? It's hard to do.
I know. Now, but it's easier now that Brady's out. You know what?
Rich, because Patrick Mahomes is still alive.
None of them are going to win. And for me to sit here and go, you know what I think is going to win? This one. It's just absurd.
That's what our job is.
I don't like it.
I don't necessarily love it. I'd love for all of them to win.
So I got to choose one?
Yeah.
Decisions. Life is full of decisions, Rich.
Thank you, Mike.
Who's going to win it?
Oh, who's never going to make it?
Who's never going to make it?
Is it make
it
or win
it? That's absurd. Why would I put myself on the record for that sort of thing? I work with Kurt Warner.
Who cares?
Because I don't. What do you mean, who cares? I care. I don't even know.
I think that's a bigger issue.
Who's never going to
win? Who cares?
The exception.
Here's what I care about. You want to know what I care about more than this?
I don't even think they ever make it.
You know what I care about more than this?
What's that?
I care about giving Kevin Burkhardt a better Chiron under his name. Next to Brady.
That's a you thing.
It's a me. Well, because I do, you know, what Kevin Burkhardt does for a living.
Because you stand next to Kurt, and Kurt says two-time MVP.
But exactly. He says NFL on Fox, and Brady's sitting there smiling, seven-time Super Bowl champ.
Wait,
why can't we put up?
Wait, hold on. He's won Emmys for MLB on Fox.
So then put him up there.
Yeah, that's
X number of Emmys.
MLB,
not NFL.
Doesn't matter though.
A Super Bowl.
It doesn't matter.
He's called a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's
he's been to the Super Bowl. It just says NFL on Fox, and Brady's sitting there smiling. He needs any more help visually. It says seven-time Super Bowl champ.
Maybe somebody's first time tuning in.
Can we help Burkhardt out a little bit here?
Little baby KK.
Early poll
That's
results.
What I care about.
Early poll results, TJ. Which quarterback never makes a Super Bowl?
I can already guess.
Justin Herbert, 50%.
Stop.
Wow. Lamar Jackson, 33%.
It's too early to read the
Not
results.
Only is he going
to
win a Super Bowl, Jim's getting him to the Hall of Fame. All right.
A football?
Oh, even better. Which quarterback doesn't make the Hall of Fame?
Oh,
there we go. Oh, that's easy.
What are we doing here?
I mean,
this is not our.
What we're doing?
This is not our brand.
We're feeding the beast is what we're doing.
We got one game left, and we need to fill a segment.
Yeah.
He's right.
And then after that, we're going to have months to talk about nothing.
Get out of here.
So,
you guys, man.
The week after the Super Bowl, let's start this.
You know, Rich, you know
does
always.
Does Kevin Burkhardt deserve a better Chiron? Put that up.
I bet you.
He does.
Rich, I'll text him.
He's called a Super. I can text him, too.
You can text him, too. That's right. We both have it. Come on. No.
Rich, you know I tend to lean more towards you than the hot take. But he's got, I mean, look, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Just saying.
He's called a Super Bowl. How many Emmys has he won? X number Emmy winner.
Put it up there. I get it.
Seven-time Super Bowl champion.
Like, who doesn't know that also? It's like,
doesn't know Kevin Burkhardt's for NFL on Fox.
I think they should just put Super Bowl champion under Brady.
No, because if I have seven, I want you to know I have seven.
Thank you.
Of course, I'd want that too.
Yeah, like I have, you know.
Like Costas, he wants to be known as a 29 Emmy Award winner. 29 time. It's now 29.
I know, it was 28.
No, it's when the fraudster said 21.
That's right.
When he was being clowned on Twitter. All right, let's take a break.
Oh, I love it,
you guys.
Boy, that was not a little question.
No, look at they made the whole segment.
Matt. My man, call back.
Oh, somebody else give us a little
overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. We didn't overreact to that at all. And that's a proper reaction. Let's get Burkhardt a better Chiron.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. LinkedIn Jobs is stepping up with their new AI assistant. All these things that you're doing right now, maybe not feeling confident about finding top talent and hiring right. Guess what? With the AI assistant, you can do all of that the first time. Get this. Employees hired through LinkedIn are 30% more likely to stick around for at least a year compared to those hired through the leading competitor. Get started by posting your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And not for me to tell the Vegas Raiders social media team what to do, but if they're going to draft Fernando Mendoza, the Raiders, if they already haven't, should create their own LinkedIn page and invite Fernando Mendoza to apply because he's on LinkedIn.
I like it.
They should play it up, right?
I like it.
They should invite him to apply for their job.
They should.
And then he'll do it, and then they'll draft him, and they're all one big LinkedIn family. You're welcome.
Yes.
All right, it's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher, the original, if you will, is sitting there for you to
get it.
Take in the podcast. Chris Brockman and I did it before Monday's show. It's out there on our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts, Christopher.
Just some leftover thoughts
from
championship weekend.
Wait, are you sure you're not reheating anything? I mean, what a great way to sell it.
Maybe if you did a better job of hyping me up, it wouldn't seem
like. Oh, here's Chris Brockman with Overreaction Money on a Tuesday, everybody. This is going to be great.
Thanks.
You didn't ask us how we were.
All right, I'm going to give a subdued now overreaction.
No!
Because I'm being shamed right now. Looking at these two teams, right? We see how special I'm being told the Seahawks are on defense.
God.
And Shaheed is a good return guy.
He's
and
a great
the Patriots
return,
have
man.
Been doing. Yep. Should have had another defensive touchdown if not for incompetent officiating. There's going to be multiple defensive and special teams touchdowns in Super Bowl 60.
Multiple?
I think this is not an overreaction. I kind of love it. The only thing that I'll react to is, so the Patriots aren't getting defensive touchdowns because of officiating.
Yeah, that's what
they said. Okay. They improperly blew the whistle.
Or the fact that you're getting defensive touchdowns at all is because, for some reason, not one but two quarterbacks in the NFL decide, I'm deep in my own end. I've got a terrific defense balling out. I'm not just going to take the sack. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to flip the ball up like I'm an 8-year-old in the backyard on Thanksgiving. Dude, with a
that's
nerf.
That's you denigrating the Patriots defense
with
by
nerf.
Forcing them into those decisions. They didn't consciously say, hey, let me just throw this up for grabs.
Let me push past this one out.
Come on, Rich Eisen. You're better than that.
Hey. What else you got over there?
Looking at the Rams and Broncos, the losing teams on this side, I actually think they're really set up for success, especially, we all agree that Matthew Stafford's probably going to be back next year. Either the Rams or Broncos are going to be back in the Final Four next year.
Either of them?
Yeah, one of them.
One of them.
One of them.
Oh, I think so, for sure. Yeah.
Back on championship weekend.
Oh, let me ask you this question.
No.
Okay.
I mean, not.
No, I understand that. You disagree, not that I cannot ask.
You can ask whatever you want.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, obviously.
So you say no to this.
It's hard.
Is Stafford coming back?
Yeah.
Okay. 100%. The Rams are built to do it again.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. That's not an overreaction.
Look at us, 2 for 2.
Yeah. Correct.
The moon must be in retrograde or something, TJ.
Check it out.
I think it's Mercury.
Google it.
Oh, Mercury.
Right. Google it.
Yeah, Google it. Aaron Rodgers, guys, we know he's got a relationship with Mike McCarthy. They won a Super Bowl together.
I can't wait till McCarthy's asked this question directly today and see what his answer is.
His presser is today?
It is, apparently, in 13 minutes from this recording, sir.
Eight's coming back. Rodgers back with Pittsburgh in 2020.
I think that's an overreaction. We have no earthly idea what this guy's thinking, nor will I spend a single second saying it because we don't know it, and I don't think he appreciates people giving voice to it.
And we know you don't want to be wrong, so.
I don't know. I at the end of the day, if they hire Mike McCarthy because he is a molder of young quarterbacks, a groomer of excellent quarterbacks from a young age and up, and Rodgers is the avatar of that, correct? Right?
Yeah.
He's the one who says Favre to Rodgers, we're finally doing it, and Rodgers is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And he is.
And he is. And obviously he's played like that even under LaFleur. So, you know, you still have to ascribe to Mike McCarthy what he did back then. Why would you then not give him the young quarterback to groom off jump?
Unless the young quarterback needs another year. I mean, look.
I guess.
Love and Rodgers sat for multiple seasons waiting their turn in Green Bay.
Okay, I'll just call this an overreaction for the moment and until otherwise.
Updating the poll results, Justin Herbert up to 49%, TJ, which means I probably should have...
You want to say what it is, just in case there's anybody watching this segment back on YouTube later?
Which quarterback never makes
the
Super Bowl thanks to Matt in Maryland, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson? Herbert now up to 50%, early 5% of the precincts report. dovetails into this topic with Mike McDaniel now as OC here in L.A. Justin Herbert, MVP finalist next year.
Top five?
Top five.
I'll go.
Top five.
Hey.
Oh.
I'm thinking about it.
I understand.
I think this is a terrific marriage, and I think the run game is going to be great. And Slater being back with Alt, and maybe we get him another young receiver in the draft. Or you draft the fastest running back there is, and you get him an Achan type guy. With all due respect to Kimani Vaidel,
probably got to update Amari and Hampton.
Keenan Allen's a little
Hampton. Hampton is one guy, and you've got a Sonic and a Knuckles. You can see what's happening here in Los Angeles. Blake Corum and Kyron Williams, maybe not in that order. Sure, I'll buy this one. Because my guy Jim's going to get him to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I see a glass half full. I see our neighbors across the street cooking something up here. Alton Slater's back. You know, Jim's going to hit the draft. Ortiz is going to hit the draft.
Definitely need them.
McDaniel's going to get this run game in a way that exactly can also enhance the passing game and get a little bit more creative. What else you got over there?
All right, we're down to 3 head coach openings out of the 10 that were this cycle.
As of this recording.
Crazy number as of this recording. One of these teams, and maybe more, are going to regret firing their head coach from earlier.
Okay, now.
Okay, now time to get serious.
Do we need to come up with something as a finger of blame? Is it, what do we call it, a towel of regret? What is it? I don't know what it is.
Towel of regret.
The regret towel?
The regret towel is pretty good.
You know, because you cry, right? Cry your tears into a towel,
or you bite on it like Tark.
Yes,
or yeah,
you
yeah,
throw
yeah,
it over
yeah.
your shoulder like uh-huh. Coach Thompson.
Yeah, something.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Oh, a towel of regret.
I like it.
We just came up with it. All right, Ken, you're on it.
you're on the clock.
And what is the regret?
That
like even if this one coach goes 3-4 wins this year.
What if the Bills miss the playoffs next year?
And you'll put that on McDermott, not being there.
There's a Bills fan in the back that didn't want
one
him
of these teams. Maybe more. All right, I'll go with you.
Ravens miss the playoffs.
That's not happening. Jesse Minter's going to be great there.
Again, you come at me all the time for I can't make that statement. You can't say they're not going to make the playoffs. Come on.
I just said they're going to. They will.
They didn't make it this year.
I'll say it's more. Let's turn it to what's more likely: Ravens make the playoffs or they don't.
Ooh, is Rodgers back?
Yeah, sure.
And you got to assume that Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're not making it.
Okay, I'll take the other side of it. What else you got over there,
Mike? You can switch music.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Because we're in that time of year now. Where, you know,
it's hoops. We're moving to hoops.
We need some hoops.
Giannis isn't playing for the Bucks anymore.
Rich Eisen.
Did I nail it?
You read my mind.
Did I?
You got a crystal ball over there?
I don't.
Giannis has played his last game as a Milwaukee Buck.
Who's reported that, actually? Doesn't somebody report
Mark
that?
Spears kind of threw that out yesterday, but Giannis is injured, dealing with a calf, and the trade deadline looming.
Feels
like he's going to get moved. Now's the time.
It feels like he doesn't want to be there anymore, and he doesn't want to say it. out loud, but the thumbs down to the fans.
That was weird.
That's so un-Giannis-like, man.
It was weird.
This meaning he'll get moved now?
He's getting this traded. He's getting traded. Yeah. No more. Your Bucks 34s. Hang them up.
Okay. Who's trading for Giannis?
Well, in the NBA, it's kind of a difficult situation to trade these guys.
Aprons?
Because you got to match salaries.
You got aprons
and salaries need to be matched. So it's a big trade. I mean, Giannis wanted to come to New York, and there's a cat deal right there with some pieces that could get the salaries to match up.
Okay.
And I'm just saying.
I'll call this an overreaction.
Could be.
This sounds like an off-season thing. That doesn't sound like an in-season thing to me. You know? Salaries and aprons. Was that a fifth dimension? Fifth dimension?
Fleetwood Mac, but.
Oh.
Stevie Nicks.
Fleetwood Mac is salaries, salary aprons and salaries?
Nicks sang it, yeah.
I think it's more fifth dimension.
Chris, can I throw a random team in that mix for them?
Sixers?
The Pistons.
Pistons?
Pistons have young talent. They have draft picks.
I don't know. It's going so well. Don't trade for Giannis.
Attaboy, Rich. Stick to that.
Rich.
Don't give up.
The old saw. The old don't trade for Giannis take. That's never worked.
Last one. It's National Chocolate Cake Day.
Hey.
Oh.
Get yourself a slice. Chocolate cake is the best dessert of all time.
Okay.
I mean, sure.
Okay.
What's better than chocolate cake?
Is it chocolate cake
what
day?
Are we
National
doing?
Chocolate Cake Day?
It is.
Just don't tell my kids.
Why, they know.
Well, I'm going to text Cooper.
Yeah, they go to school. You know that.
They go to school.
Ice cream beats chocolate cake.
All right. Great overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Well done, Chris. Well done.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.